Good morning, everyone.
Happy Hanukkah. Let's take a Hanukkah to all of you. It's nice to see many familiar faces, some new faces. There's so many things that we could talk about on Hanukkah, but I wanted to share a few stories to bring out one idea. Now, this idea, the truth is, you could talk about it on Hanukkah, you could talk about it on Tu B'Shvat, you could talk about it on Yat Kislev, any day of the year, you could talk about this idea, because perhaps this idea is so fundamental, is so crucial, it is appropriate to address it every day. And I wonder if, I look around this room, some of you already know this idea, and some of you in your journey in life are exploring this idea. But I would encourage you to think about it very carefully, because this idea, it could change your life. And not only could it change your life, it could actually save someone else's life. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Good morning. Because what I want to think about together with you in the time that we have, if you were to distill, imagine you were sitting on a train. Let's say you were sitting in an airport lounge. A couple of weeks ago, I was traveling. I was trying to get back to Chicago from New York, and we had a little bit of snow in New York. And that caused a great, enormous balagan. Enormous. Akadekach that I spent one half of the night in LaGuardia and the other half of the night in Newark Airport. That was like Malim Bakodesh to go from LaGuardia to Newark at 2:30 in the morning. Imagine you were sitting in the airport, and because of the balagan, we didn't have a lot of time, but I can imagine there were lots of people there, thousands and thousands of people, so many people. And you sat down next to somebody, and maybe they were Jewish, or maybe they weren't Jewish, or maybe they were observant, but maybe they never had an appreciation for Yiddishkeit. And they said to you, tell me, what is a central teaching of Yadus? What is a main message that you could tell me? Or in other words, what does the Torah tell us in our generation? Because we know that there is a distinct voice in every generation that the Torah is sharing with us. So what's our message? What are we hearing from the Torah that's speaking to each one of us and to all of us collectively in our generation? So how would we start thinking about that? And that's something that I wanted to focus with you on today, because I think it's really important. It's really important for us to be able to articulate that to ourselves and to other people. What is the Torah? What is the Ribbono Shel Olam? What do Chazal? What are they saying to us today? And to do that, I want to share with you three stories. And if we're still paying attention by then, we'll pull it all together. Recently, I had a meeting with someone from the greater Chicago Jewish community. And if you're going out with somebody for a meeting, some of you may have even, I don't know if you guys, do the students drive this? The students have, you guys have cars, automobiles, you know? Yes, some students do. Are you allowed to drive off campus during school hours? No. So you do not know who I was meeting with, but if you had a car and you were off campus, which none of you were, obviously, right? So I was sitting in Emma's, that used to be called Bagel Country when we moved here, which is a great place to meet people, because generally, I don't know why it is, but they say you want to meet somebody, you're supposed to meet there, generally speaking. So I'm sitting meeting with this person, and he's describing to me how he's in a place where he's struggling a lot with Yadus. And he doesn't come to shul so much anymore, and he has a lot of questions about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he has a lot of challenges. He has a lot of struggles, a lot of questions, important questions that need to be thought about. But he said something that struck me. He said, you know, he has children, some of them a little bit younger than you. He said, well, you know, I made sure that we made a sukkah this year because I want to make sure that my children, they have that experience of sitting in the sukkah like my grandparents had. That was just a one-liner in the conversation. And I kind of froze for a second. I said, isn't that very interesting? I was thinking to myself, I didn't say it to him, but I thought to myself, isn't that very interesting? That you're not sure about what your connection is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore, but it's very important to you that your kids should sit in a sukkah because your grandparents sat in a sukkah. So I was trying, in my mind, I'm sitting there, there's eggs, and then there's whole wheat, everything bagel, because if it's whole wheat, you feel like it's healthy. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what is that saying? What does this person mean when he says that to me? And what does it mean that he's thinking deep down? That's story number one. Story number two takes place also here in Chicago. Not as exciting, but in a certain respect, very exciting. So I don't know how many of you are exposed to a very significant phenomenon that goes on in America in the wintertime, and that's called the National Football League. Some of you are familiar with this? Yes? Okay. So there is something that happens that when a team scores a touchdown, which is a six-point play, when they take the ball and they move it into the end, you're nodding, Gewalt. Okay, so you move it into the end zone. So that causes a great amount of simcha. In the Lashon of the Rambam, it would probably be simcha yaseira, you know? So what happens when a team scores a touchdown, and particularly when one player who is tremendously excited about this touchdown? So what usually happens? What's that? Who has the bikkias? What's that?
Touchdown dance.
Avada, a touchdown dance. It's like a miniature version of Erev Shira, all packed in to one expression. So it usually involves something like this, and then like this, and everybody has different things. That's not my skill set, so I'm not even going to go there. So imagine, this happened a few weeks ago. So I'm in a shul in Chicago, and it came time, it was in the evening, and you know many shuls, they have a late Maariv because Shkia now is very early, so you daven Mincha, and then, you know, Maariv is depending when a person gets home from work very often or whatever. So there's a late Maariv in this shul, so I go to daven late Maariv. The problem was that there were only 9 holy Jews in this late Maariv minyan. So everybody's sitting, looking, you know, it's that awkwardness. So first of all, you have like a few people who are on their phone, just pretending like they're texting someone to get the 10th man. They're really playing solitaire or whatever people do on smartphones, because I don't have one, but if I had a smartphone, I would be doing something like that. And then you have the people who are like, they're nervous. They're going like, is it going to be a minion? Is it going to be a minion? They're like spitting, they're struggling, going back. And then the door opens, and one guy comes in just a gigantic parka. You didn't even see his face. It's like covered. You know, it's 27 degrees outside without the wind chill. And he just walks into the thing, and he looks around, and he realizes, he chabs, that he is the 10th man. And I kid you not, you've seen a touchdown dance or two. This guy, Mamish, broke out in a touchdown dance in the middle of the show. He was going like this. He was going like this. He was dancing. And I was like, first of all, that is awesome because he has significant moves, this particular balabas. But I'm thinking to myself, why is it? What is going on that this man should be dancing in the middle of the shul because he's the 10th man for a Tuesday night Maariv minyan? And then the third little story is that there is a woman, a young woman, a girl who's your age, who I happened to notice. I was in a certain place one time, and I wasn't davening, but this young woman was davening. And I happened to notice that she was davening, but I didn't just notice that she was davening, but I noticed that she was actually davening. So, because I'm a shtickle nosy, I went over to her after she finished davening, and I said to her, I said, excuse me, can I ask you a question? I said, I can't help but notice that you were mamish davening. Where did you learn how to daven like that? So she told me where she was from and where she went to camp and how she learned how to daven. So I asked her, I get that that's where you learned how to daven, but why do you daven like that? Why does every word matter? That you should really pay attention and daven with every word. So her answer was very telling, and it fits into how all these three stories fit together. The first story, the story of the guy who wants to build a sukkah to make sure that his children have a sukkah like his grandparents had a sukkah like his parents. The story of the guy celebrating his touchdown dance being the minyan man. And then the story of this girl who davened mamish every word in the davening. They all come back to one principle. And I would argue, and I would suggest, you know, it's a good exercise. I don't know if you ever have spare time. Think about it for yourselves. What you would say is the message that the Ribono Shel Olam, that the Torah, that Chazal are sharing in our generation. You could come up with your own. I think it would be a very valuable exercise. But I wonder if for our generation in this context in which we live, which is so confusing, it's so difficult, it's so challenging. I don't know how everybody here navigates it, but we all face it in some way or another, is that there is a principle that the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to know. And that is that I matter. I matter. Each one of you sitting in your seat need to know, the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to know, that each one of you, you matter. If that's a central motif of Yadus, I understand very well how these stories fit together and why we're even talking this morning. Every one of you is a link in a very long chain. That's called the chain that we call the chain of the Masorah. And we recognize that each one of us, no matter how old or how young, or where we live, or where we come from, we are carrying on a Masorah that is, think about it, thousands of years. It's a miraculous a whole reality, that we still exist, that we're still sitting learning Torah together despite hundreds and hundreds of years of centuries of persecution. We're still here. And we're still here because one person received the Masorah and then handed that Masorah off to the next person who handed it off to the next person. There's a specific, especially in terms, I think I'm the only gentleman in this room, should be aware there's a specific Torah Simecha. There's a specific Masorah that women pass on to the next generation of women. Habal Leina Latova, everyone here should have the merit to have their own family, their own Masorah, their own children. But even those who don't have their own children, you could pass on the Masorah to another younger person in the next generation. There's an amazing story, astonishing story. There was a woman who was probably just a little bit older than you guys. She lived in a small town or city, small geographically, enormous Jewishly. It's called Vilna in Lithuania. And in 1941, when she was living in Vilna, things were very difficult. But she created a Masorah. Her name was Fagel Demrov. That was her nickname in Yiddish. Fagel the Rav's daughter. So Fagel the Rav, she wasn't married, she didn't have any children, but she decided she was going to perpetuate the Masorah from her mothers, from grandmothers. So they got together groups of girls, like just like you guys, and they would have shiurim, and they would have davening, and they would have sudas, and they decorated their rooms. They had, like, if you can imagine, in the Vilna ghetto, you didn't have beautiful artwork like this, but they This woman, who never had any children, was never married, and did not survive the war, she recognized that she can transmit the Masora. And there were several survivors from this group who did eventually survive and make it to Israel. But that's a very specific, unique, that's a unique link in the chain. And if you don't fulfill that opportunity, no one will. So in terms of the development of the Masora, each one of you matters. You matter. If you don't carry on that Masora, nobody else will in your place. But it's not just true on this very global, gigantic, enormous level that you matter because you're going to pass along the Masora. Usually, when you go eat lunch, I've never been to the cafeteria. You have a cafeteria? Shtickle cafeteria. You eat, right? So when you go eat lunch, most people don't sit down and sit, look at their friends and say, ah, you know, I matter because I'm going to pass along the Masora one day. That's not usually a lunch conversation, although it's interesting. I would think it's interesting, but it's probably not going to happen. But you also matter, just like this gentleman who showed up to the late Maariv with his unbelievable, like, amazing touchdown dance. Because every person matters, Yahadus tells us, on the level of the tzibur. You cannot have, the halacha does not allow for just an individual life in the context of Yiddishkeit. A person must always consider themselves how they relate to the tzibur, to the community. There is an institution called a tzibur. So that's why, let's say in the context of men, it exists in the form of a minyan. But in general, the idea of coming together of a tzibur, that is a crucial reflection of what the ideal of Yiddishkeit is all about. And what does it mean to be part of the tzibur? It means that every person matters. That means that, let's say in this case, every person who showed up to shul that night, they were essential in making the minyan. The one man who was sitting in the back corner was praying to God that 10 people should walk in the door because he had yard sight for his mother. It mattered to him who walked in the door that there should be 10 people. Every person matters on the level of a tzibur. So it matters whether somebody picks up the phone or sends a text or reaches out to somebody else as part of their tzibur to figure out what's going on with them. And that, chas v'shalom, nobody should be left behind. You can think about all the organizations, you know, over hundreds of years in Eastern Europe, they had little pinkasim, they had little books of different kehilos, of how they would organize themselves. Because every kehila had a way of organizing the tzibur. So let's say they would have a group of women, they were part of the holy chevra, they were responsible for all the burials. Well, every person had to have a proper Jewish burial. And so every person in that community matters, both on the receiving end of making sure that someone takes care of them, but of course on the providing end, because every person who's going to volunteer to contribute to any Gemilas Chasadim, any communal institution, in building it at any level, it requires individuals. Ad kedei kach, there's an unbelievable tshuva l'Chavos Yoyer. Chavos Yoyer lived in Germany about 600 years ago. He asked the following question. He was asked, let's say all you guys got together, and every year, even though you're not Metzuvah, you wanted to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Just by a show of hands, most people here, you usually hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Usually go to shul? Yes? Yes? Okay. It's important to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Yes? Yeah. So let's say you guys all got together, and every year you lived in a city where you had no money. You didn't have a bal tokeah. You didn't have someone to blow the shofar. So you know what you would do? You would all get together, and you would hire somebody to come to your town to blow shofar, for tkiah shofar. And every year, all of you would contribute $5. So how many students are we? Sach hakol? Be'erach 125 students. I'm never good with math, but I think 125 times 5 is... what's that? 625? 625 or 650? Where are we holding here? 625, yes? Baruch Hashem. I was not on the mathletes. In our home, the division of labor, Baruch Hashem, is that math and science, my wife does. I do the writing, Limudei Kodesh, but math is not my thing. So every year, you guys are going to chip in. You're going to pay $625 to have a Baal Tokeah to come blow shofar for you. Seder? Good? $5, you're in? Okay. Then, as is not uncommon in Europe, one year there is a war that's going on, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood, because wars happened all the time, and they still do, unfortunately. So there's a war. So the Baal Tokeah sends you a letter, and he says, I really appreciate coming. The students of Hannah Sachs are very wonderful, or I should say Hannah Sachs are very wonderful. They're great. Is that better? A little better. They're great. They're wonderful. I want to do the Tekiah Shofar for you guys, but here's the thing. I'm not going to risk my life to go out on the road for $625. It's not happening. No way. If you want me to come, you're going to need to pay $5,000. That was a face. $5,000 plus from a sugar? He says, look, I'm not going to risk my life to come to blow shofar for you guys for $625. So everybody gets together. You have a student council? Some kind of student government? Yes? Official, unofficial, what is it?
It's called
GEO. GEO. What does it stand for? No one knows. No one knows. General organization. Great. So the GEO gets together and they say, good, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a fundraiser. We're going to raise funds. We're going to donate all our leftover shoes. So we have been among the 125 students. We probably have about 8,000 or 9,000 pairs of shoes. So we're going to donate the excess, the not essential shoes. We need, essentially, Mustama, everybody needs at least 9 pairs of shoes. So above the 9 pairs of shoes, we'll donate all the rest of the shoes. Baruch Hashem, I don't have 9 pairs of shoes. So you're going to donate all the rest of the shoes. Great. You're going to raise $3,000. You're going to cut it down and down and down. But then you find out, at the end of the day, lemaisa are going to be short. Everyone's going to need to give $10. So all the girls decide. They all take a vote. We're all going to give $10. Except for one girl. One girl. And this girl, Baruch Hashem, she's blessed. She has many hundreds of dollars in her wallet. She has one of those little clip things on the back of her phone, which has very, very high number bills in the phone. She has hundreds of dollars, but she says, no, Vilnish, I don't want. I'm going to give $5. Every year I give $5, that's all I'm giving. So the GO, they send a letter to the Chavis Yar 600 years ago. They say, we want to know the following. Can we pay the Baal Tokeah $5,000? Someone else will give an extra $5. Can we tell the Baal Tokeah that when he blows the shofar, he should have in mind not to be motzi that girl who won't give the extra $5? Is that an emergency? So what would you say? What's the din? Can the Baal Tokeah have kavana not to be motzi that one person with his tekiyas? Anybody who says yes, he can exclude that person. Just a show of hands. Anybody says he can exclude that person? Anybody say yes? Mm-hmm. Anybody who says no, he can't exclude that person? A hand. Okay. You know what the Chavis Yor writes? The Chavis Yor says yes. Because the Chavis Yor says that every person matters. And if that one girl says, I'm not going to give another $5, you know what the next girl is going to say? I'm also not going to give $5. And the next girl is going to say, I'm not going to give $5 either. And then we're not going to have anything. Because on the level of a tzibur, everybody matters. Someone's going to say, we're going to build a mikveh. So everybody needs to give $10 to build a mikveh. Someone's going to say, I don't need to give $10 to build a mikveh. Everybody else will give the money. And then you know what? By the time everybody says, we're not going to give $10, there's no mikvah. Somebody could say, I see there's a bus. There's an Eged bus in Yerushalayim that's picking people up and dropping them off. They're going anyway. I don't need to give $10. Yeah, but if everybody says, I don't need to pay for the bus, there is no bus. Because on the level of a tzibur, everybody needs to make a contribution. Ad kedei kach that the Chavos Yoreh says that you can exclude that girl. Because if she can afford it, and everybody else is contributing, she should contribute. Because everyone's contribution on the level of a tzibur matters. You can't just say, oh, I'm not part of the tzibur. It doesn't matter. The Rabbah says, unfortunately, God forbid, a person who excludes themselves from a tzibur, from a community, they're very serious. And you know what this girl said to me? She said, you know why I daven? So I said, why do you say all the words? Because, you know, most people, they maybe say some of the words. I'm trying to think what percentage of the words did I say on a given davening. How much was I sleeping for? How much was I awake for? How much was I paying attention for? So she says to me, she says, you know, I say all the words because when I say the words, I realize that Hashem is listening to me and that my relationship with Hashem is important. And I said, that's what it's all about. I said, aha! I said, I've been thinking about this idea, and it's so true. Am I following? We have a few more minutes. Still good. If you want to leave, now's a good time, because I assume you have teachers who are looking to teach. They're not looking to sit around and do nothing. You okay? All right. Just checking. Whoever is in emergency, now is a good time to catch the emergency. I realized that it's not just that I matter because I am a link in the Masorah of generations. And I matter because I'm part of a tzibur. And I care about the other girls in my tzibur, the Jews in my tzibur, the world. And they care about me. I matter on the level of the community. But also, I matter, even if there was no Masorah, even if there was no community, I'm on an island, but I matter to the Ribono Shel Olam. That my davening, whatever words that I say, somebody's listening. The Ribono Shel Olam is paying attention to the way that I daven, the way that I perform mitzvahs, the little things. You wonder yourself sometimes, for goodness sakes, for goodness sakes, does it really matter if I light the Hanukkah candles like this or I light them like that? Does it really matter? So who cares? Why is the detail so important? Why is the detail so significant? But you know what? Did you ever receive a birthday card? One of these e-birthday cards that was like automatically generated by some company? And you're like, delete. Delete, delete, because nobody actually took the time to write anything in the birthday card. It just says, you know, happy birthday to you, la la la. You know, one of the singing cards, those are the best, the singing cards. The person didn't even take the time to write, happy birthday, love mom. It's fine, it's good, but is that comparable to somebody who knows something about you and who's going to put in the detail and write down and say, I picked this card because I know that you love cats. Some people like cats. So imagine you like cats, they buy you a birthday card with cats on them. Right? You've seen such things. They have them in the store. Those overpriced pieces of paper. You know what I'm talking about? So the cats, they write down, they say, happy birthday, that you mean so much to me because. And then they write, befrat, you know, in the morning when I wake up and I'm in groggy and I'm in a bad mood, you always say hello and happy birthday, or hello and good morning, or I hope you have a great day. And they write a bunch of little detailed things. And when you get that birthday card, you're like, oh, that person really is paying attention to me. I really matter to that person. When we tell the Ribono Shel Olam, we're going to pay attention to the details, we're following up and deepening the relationship. So in a relationship, the details matter, just like in a birthday card. Just like in any relationship, when you think about it, we're trying to develop that relationship because the Ribono Shel Olam is telling us that I matter. That's why he gave us mitzvos. He gave us mitzvos because what he's saying is, You matter to me. So here are opportunities to forge a connection. The word mitzvah comes in Aramaic from the word tzavsa, which means to create a bridge, a bond. The reason we daven and the reason we do mitzvos is because we matter. The mitzvos reinforce to us that to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I matter. A person may go home at night and sometimes feel that they don't matter. And I'll talk about very briefly an article which, lo aleinu, we should never know from such things. And it's a very sensitive topic, and I'm not an expert on this topic. But it's an important topic to think about. So I discussed it with a very prominent psychiatrist. The topic is called depression. And ad kedekach, lo aleinu, sometimes, in certain cases, a person who is depressed, lo aleinu, for a whole host of reasons beyond the scope of my knowledge, may even choose, lo aleinu, that their life is not worth continuing. So there was a doctor in the Bay Area who did the following research. He had a whole series of patients who never, lo aleinu, they were suicidal. So he did the following research. He said, what would happen if our clinic would reach out to our suicidal patients and send them a letter? Every 2 weeks, we're going to send a form letter to this group of suicidal patients, lo aleinu. And then after 2 weeks, after, let's say, they're going to get another letter and another letter. Then after 3 months, we're going to cut the letters down to once a month. And then after 6 months, once a year. And what they showed in this research was that it's an amazing thing, that it didn't cost them a lot of money, but they found that Nebuch, they're dealing with such difficult, lo aleinu, heartbreaking population, that they found that they were able to have a tremendous impact, a huge impact, reducing the suicide rate among their population of psychiatric patients by nearly 50%. So I came across this research and I brought it to this psychiatrist. I said, did you see this article? This is Hafla Vafella. He said, yeah, because people who are struggling, lo aleinu, with these types of things, and he has many patients, God forbid, we shouldn't know from such a thing, patients who are suffering with serious depression, he said, oftentimes it's because people don't feel any self-worth. They don't feel that their life is worth anything. They don't feel like they matter. So if they don't matter, why should they get out of bed in the morning? Why should they even continue on living, lo aleinu? And so he said one of the things that he does with patients who are nebuch caught in this vice grip, this choleh hanefesh, is he encourages them to volunteer, to do a good deed, because he says, when you do that, it reinforces within you that you matter. And I said to him, I said, isn't this what the Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to do by giving us mitzvahs all the time? He said, interesting. The mitzvahs that we are given are a chesed for us to demonstrate to us that we matter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to remind ourselves, and I wonder if this is the message for our door that the Torah is telling us. We could go through countless Ma'amari Chazal, think about it in the context of Chanukah, what it means that even a small ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that one light can illuminate the entire world of darkness. Think about what that means for us. I wonder if this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us today. That in a time when so many of us, when we go home to the privacy of our quiet lives, we ask ourselves, how many of us in this room, I know sometimes I ask myself this question, what am I doing here? Do I really matter? And that's a struggle. But what the Ribbono Shel Olam is reminding us is that, yes, I do matter. I matter to the future generations of Klal Yisrael. I matter to the tzibur in which I live, and I matter to him even if none of those, if neither of those exists. Ki avi ve'imi azavuni v'Hashem yasveni. that when I'm alone with the Ribbono Shel Olam, just the two of us, I matter to him, kiviyachol. I'll close with one story, because it's relevant to this particular group. We have a family member. My wife has an uncle who was the principal for many years in a particular school on the East Coast, which is a very large place, so you can't identify where it is right now. And there was a girl in that school, an elementary school, who came in at the beginning of the year because she was joining a new family. It was a blended family, so she was coming into this family, and there were previously children in the family, and it was a very complicated family dynamic. And because of the nature of what it was, the family, so unfortunately, the previous siblings, the siblings who were in the school before, were not very gracious to this new sibling when she came to the school. And so she was feeling, and she was, isolated from the peer group in the school. And it was becoming clear to the principal that the social interactions and the environment was very toxic for this girl, unfortunately. So shortly thereafter, he calls in this girl to his office, and he sits her down, and he says, I have to talk to you, because it's apparent to me that there's something going on here, and you must be very unhappy because the environment is so difficult. So the principal said to the girl, he said straight out, he says, how do you manage here? How do you stay here? It must be so difficult. So she says, I'll tell you, it's very hard. But you know what happened to me? Last month, 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in the lunchroom, and I was sitting by myself, of course, there's nobody sitting with me, and one girl comes and sat down next to me. And we had lunch, and I was pretty surprised. She didn't sit with me before, because I was new to the school, she didn't know me. So the girl says to me, when she gets up from the lunch table, she has her cart, you know, she picks it up, she's going to go throw it out in the trash can. Before she leaves, she just makes an offhand comment. She says, you know, don't worry, I know maybe it's rough around here, you're new, but you should know, I'll always be your friend. She picks up her tray and she walks back to the line. And this little girl says to the principal, she says, that is how I get up every day. Because this other girl told me, don't worry, I'll always be your friend. Because she said, don't worry, you matter. You matter to me, to someone. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us all the time, and we should never forget that we matter. We matter to him, and that's ultimately the most important person, quote unquote, to whom we need to matter. But what we need to do now is to take that ore, that nair that burns within each one of us, that the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us is precious and is valuable and is inviolate. And now we put that nair al pesach beis hamikdash. And make sure that everybody that we know feels that they matter. The same way that we feel that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the gift through mitzvah samasim tovim of feeling that I matter, I want to make sure to pass that along and to share that with somebody else. And in that respect, perhaps not only is this an idea that can change each one of our lives, but you never know, it could certainly have a huge impact and maybe even save somebody else's life. Thank you for coming in. Hanukkah Sameach.
Thank you, everybody, for really...